Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today I'm proud to bring you The Art of Healing with Kak Young. Greetings and welcome, Kak. Happy and healthy new year.
Thank you so much. The very, very same to you, Hercules.
Thank you.
And on this new year, I'm very excited to bring us a wonderful surprise. My guest is a wise and insightful person. She practices a combination of paganism and witchcraft and is a high priestess in the Gathering Grove, a nonprofit, family-friendly, earth-based spiritual group. And she's been doing this for over 35 years. She's the author of 10 books, with another one coming out in April of 2023. She started out with a BA in communications from the University of Wisconsin and has been widely published in magazines and newsletters, including The Blessed Bee, Sage Woman, Pangaea, Circle Magazine, and New Witch. Carrie is very impressive because she is a cancer survivor and lives in northern Illinois. Some of her other books are 420 meditation spells for tough times. 420 meditations, spells for tough times, The Pocket Guide to Rituals, The Pocket Spell Creator, and The Pocket Individual Guide to Potions. Tonight, we're going to talk about her book, Spells for Good Times. Everybody, please welcome Carrie Connor, High Priestess. Welcome, Carrie.
Hi. It's nice to be here. That was a nice
good
intro.
Well, I'm so glad. You know, I'm glad you're here. You've done so much, and I have become a real fan of your work. I think Spells for Good Times is one of the most fabulous books on the subject because you come at it with a lot of wisdom and experience, and, you know, I just appreciated the maturity in your book.
Oh, thank you. I'm still not used to praise. I have one of the members of my group, we actually met working at a Barnes & Noble together, and he always tells me that I am far more accomplished than what I realize, and he's right. And I know that it's something that I have to work on. I have been doing this for a long time, and I've written a lot of books, and I was brought up to always believe, you know, you got to do more, you got to do more, you got to do more, and that's something that I'm working on myself on getting over and, you know, being content with not always having to push myself. But, yeah, this was a fun book, really. It was a lot of fun to write. My son likes to laugh because my Spells for Tough Times book is a lot bigger than my Spells for Good Times book. And I told him, I said, that just goes to show how much I've grown because you can learn different
it's
ways.
How you
yeah.
See it. Yeah. What is great about your book is that it's really a gentle self-help book that takes you through all kinds of different steps and all kinds of growth spurts. And you say, I'm going to be quoting a lot to you from your book because I think it should be said. You say, toxic energy in the U.S., there's a lot of that, and witches need to learn how to turn the negative energy into positive energy. It doesn't have to wait until January 1st. Spells, rituals, and affirmations, meditations, prayers, and journal work push away the gray and the low times and the vibrations of hate. I mean, you could really be useful right now in Congress.
It's funny you should say that. We were having that conversation earlier tonight. My son was saying that. I said, I still find it ridiculous that they open with a prayer. And he says, but you should go there and open the prayer for him. And I'm like, well, I should. I wouldn't like what I have to say.
Yeah.
But
No, you'd be gentle. I mean, in your book, you say, we recognize the pain in others. We choose to either focus on hate and fear or on love and compassion. We create the society we want it to be. And some don't want a positive world. They want power,
it's
greed,
true.
And
they don't.
Control.
People, we're literally seeing that right now. We're seeing that right now in Congress.
Yes.
It wouldn't be happening if people weren't interested in greed and power. This is what's happening right now. It's pretty crazy. I like how they keep saying we haven't seen this for 100 years. Most of us have never seen this because we weren't here 100 years ago. You know, it's not that we haven't seen this for 100 years. We haven't seen this. We haven't seen this happen in our lifetime. There's very
right.
few people alive who ever saw this happen in their lifetime. And they don't want to point it out that way because that makes it sound even scarier. It makes it sound scarier. We've never seen
sure.
this stuff happen before, and we are stepping into new grounds. And a lot of it is not friendly. We
well,
got to do something about
had-
that.
Yeah, we haven't had a pandemic in 100 years either called the
yeah.
Spanish flu, and now it's COVID. So what are we learning here? Every 100 years we have to go through some sort of an oven of fire?
It kind of seems like it. We're repeating ourselves. And, you know, they say if you don't learn from your history, you keep repeating it. And our history has been such a lie that – what we think we learned, we didn't learn. We were lied to about so much that what we learned were lies. So we keep repeating the same things because we were lied to and we don't even know the truth about our history.
And yet you're an eternal optimist because in the book you say.
I'm both. I am both. I will be the first person to admit I am a big pessimist and I'm a big optimist. It's something to do with that. I don't know. It's because like I'm an Aquarius with a, get me this right. Let's see. Rising is Gemini and moon is Aries. And this is what people tell me. It's like I am an extremist in both ways, whereas I'm either extremely optimistic or I'm extremely pessimistic. I think what's going on in Congress right now is a terrible thing, and it's also a wonderful thing.
Yes, yes.
There's good and bad in everything.
Many would agree. And I like your statement in the book. You tell people, your future is bright. Grab your shades.
Yes. We just have to make it that way.
Have to make it that way, right.
We have to make it that way. I know that I have a different view than a lot of people because I almost died. I had cancer, and it wasn't the cancer that almost killed me. It was an infection I got from a surgery after the cancer. I had a bilateral breast reduction. I had breast cancer. They did a lumpectomy, and to even me out, because I had been a G, they did a bilateral breast reduction and brought me down to a D. And then I had an infection that lasted, it was like 6 months. I was on a PICC line. I was on antibiotics for like almost a year, and it was terrible. I had holes in my chest, and I almost died from that. Not from the cancer, but from that. And when you realize, you know, I don't want my life to just be get up every day, go to work, come home, you know, argue with the kids about getting stuff done. I want more. I want more. And when you almost die, you realize that if you don't hurry up and get more and do what you want, you might not have a chance to later.
So,
and that's
there
how
you
I
were.
Kind of see things from both sides.
Well,
I
there
almost
you
died,
were.
Thank goodness.
How did you make the choice? How did you make the choice, Carrie, to stay alive?
Because I wasn't ready to go. I haven't been to Ireland yet. And I mean, I told my husband when we first found out that I was going to talk to the doctor. And if he said it wasn't super bad, then I was going to go with some friends down to New Orleans and have my 45th birthday on Bourbon Street. And my husband says, okay, so what if he says it is really bad? And I said, well, then I'm going to get a backpack and I'm going to go to Ireland. And he said, well, when are you going to come home? And I said, well, when they find my body with the note attached to it to send me home. I wouldn't have came back. If they told me this was going to kill me, no, I'm going to go and do everything that I wanted to do that I have not done yet. And he's just like, oh, okay. And then I decided, why would I wait until I'm almost dying to go and do everything that I want to do? That's a terrible way to live life.
Well, there you go. There you go. There you go. So,
you know, that's
book,
not
you,
living life.
In your book, you say you can project happiness or sadness or anger, and it's up to you to flip the switch.
Yes. I believe that very much.
And
you
then,
can flip your own switch once you get, you know, you
and
get enough control
you
over your own self. You can, yeah, you just flip your switch. When everything is going to crap in your life, and a lot of people have had that happen lately. We've had crappy lives, but we can learn from the crap. We can turn it around, and we can use that to do better. I was homeless for
book,
a while, so what did I do? I started a nonprofit to help homeless people.
Well, that's certainly a great activity. I want to go back to the book here for a moment because you give the lessons to tell people how to flip that switch, and I think that's extremely important, how to actually do the work and change the attitude.
It is, and a lot of it is really you have to think outside of the box and try and look at things from a different angle. And we talk about the shadow work and kind of stepping outside of yourself. And when you do that, you're able to look at things from a different angle. That's usually where you find your solutions to your problems, is just looking at it a different way.
You also talk about, where you ask the question, how do we convert the energy from the negative to the positive? And I like your answer. It said you combine intention with visualization, add in some energy, and you have the basic ingredients for all sorts of magical workings.
Yeah,
tell us about that.
That's pretty much my recipe book. I seriously like to raise energy a lot through dance, and I'm no dancer. I've been doing a lot more with singing, and I am definitely no singer, but the older I get, the more I realize that I'm just dancing and singing for myself and for my universe. So it doesn't really matter what anybody else thinks about it. But there are times when I feel, I mean, have you ever gone out into a public place and just started acting silly and singing?
I have not personally done that, but I'm glad you do.
I've done it. I do it, and I will do it because I have walked in places where it's like, you know, this is a depressing place and everybody's sad, and because, you know, I went to chemo offices and everything, and I'll just sit there and I'll start singing, and I've had people start singing with me, and we might all suck. We don't care. But you can do that anywhere. If you're in your backyard, you can feel when the air is heavy, and once you get to being able to distinguish energies like that, you can feel it anywhere. You can go into a grocery store and you can feel when it's like, you know, just people are in a rush, and you can pick up those energies. You can also use those then to convert them into a different energy. Energy is never destroyed. We just change it. So if you walk into a store, I mean, I was great at that for Black Friday, let me tell you. I used to love to work Black Fridays in retail, which most people will tell you they hate it. And I loved it because people who came in and were nasty and rude, I was the one who got to deal with them. And I would dress up like an insane, crazy Christmas elf, and I would have candy canes and kisses. And if you're going to get up in one of my cashier's faces, I'm just going to kind of get in your face a little bit and be like, you want a kiss? And it's really hard for them to stay mad at somebody who looks like an insane Christmas elf who's asking them if they want a kiss. So I would try to direct their energy away from being a jerk. They would have me lead the line on Christmas, or, you know, on Black Friday, I would lead the lines and let people go up to the cashier and just keep them occupied. And I would sing. I would sing and I would tell jokes and I would read little kids' books to the customers. And you can take people that are in a really bad mood and make them happy. You just got to give them a reason to be happy. A lot of people don't have reasons to be happy. We don't think
right.
about that, but a lot of people just don't have a reason to be happy.
Let's go back to your book again, because I think you really do give the recipe to people of how to get to that place where they can go dance and sing and cheer people up. You talk about how to start your day, how to wake up, and what to do. Tell us about that process.
You know, We have a society that used to have men wake up in the morning, shave their necks with a straight razor, and then put a tie around it like a noose. And when you think about it, that's a terrible way to start your day. We have alarms that go blaring and jolt us from our sleep, and we're supposed to wake up and be happy, and yet the things we do when we wake up really set our whole day. And some of the things we do when we wake up in the morning, it's not real happy stuff. So why do we do it? Because that's what we've been taught. So I don't use a blaring alarm. I have, right now I've been using from a playlist, it's my women's playlist, and it's all like empowering women's songs. So I wake up to that in the morning. And I have lots of autoimmune issues. I have fibromyalgia and ankylosing spondylitis and rheumatoid arthritis and osteoarthritis. And I just found out I have tears in both of my meniscus in my knees. So getting up in the morning, if I don't do it right, I can hurt myself. I can literally hurt myself. And so I have to take time before I get out of bed to stretch and check in with my body and see if I have any kinks or anything before I move. Because if I don't, like I said, I have fallen, I have hurt myself, I have sprained things, I have strained things, and that's not fun. We have to give ourselves time. And I mean, that itself is just like such an act of self-love, because most of us, it's, yeah, hit the alarm that's blaring and get out of bed and off we go. Giving yourself the time and not waking up in a terrible way it's so much kinder. It's really so much kinder. I keep a water bottle by my bed so I can have water the first thing I do in the morning too, after stretching and checking in with myself. And we just have to learn to take care of ourselves better.
You also suggest that you do a process of journaling and affirmations, and morning
yes.
meditations.
It's how I start my day. Sometimes, I need to do my affirmations more, and I know that. I have an issue with affirmations. It's always been my biggest problem is doing it. And part of it is because I've got that low self-esteem. So like I said, it's hard for me to accept praise. That's from anybody. That means even when I try to, you know, do affirmations myself and I'm praising myself, I still have a hard time doing that sometimes, and I have to work on it too. I think so many of us are like that, and especially when we just came through the pandemic and a lot of people were alone and we lost people. It's hard to remember sometimes that even though other people are gone, we're still here. We still have to take care of ourselves, and we need to take care of ourselves the way we wish somebody else would. You know, if we took as good care of ourselves as we wish other people would take care of ourselves, the world would be a perfect place. We'd all be happy.
Well, yeah, that's very, very true. You even have recipes for the shower.
Yes, and some of the shower recipes, a lot of those are, my daughter works a lot with that. She did write this, Crystal Hope is my daughter. She has her own company that does soaps and bath bombs and all those good types of things too. So she works on a lot of the more herbal areas with me. But we both, you know, I mean, we work together, obviously.
Well, but I think you say, you know, you take herbs into the shower and connect them to the shower head so that the water is
mm-hmm.
drenched in herbs when it comes across
yes.
your skin and touches your body.
My, what would she have been? My great, great aunt Lula used to do it with eucalyptus when I was a kid. Only eucalyptus, but I learned that you could do that with all kinds of different herbs and flowers and just add them to your shower that way. And then, you know, I mean, I like a bath too, but when you add them to your shower that way, it's an easier cleanup. You don't have to worry about them getting all over.
So if you're gentle with yourself in the morning and you do some journal work and say affirmations, now you come down to be where your food is, and you really suggest that you bless your food.
Yes. I don't think a lot of us think so much of our whole body as the temple type of thing. Anything that we put into our body becomes a part of us. So if we're putting just a bunch of junk into our bodies, we're going to be kind of junky. If we're putting, I feel that we really need to have more natural foods and eat more natural foods. And I know I feel a lot better when I do eat more natural foods, because we are taking in those energies too, and we're converting that energy in our body. What energy do we want to be putting into it? I would rather be putting in the energy from something I have grown in my garden with my own hands than something that was made, mass-produced in a factory by somebody who's not happy with their job to begin with. And we know that happens. We know that there's a lot of people that work in factories, that work in meat-producing plants especially, who have dangerous jobs and don't like their jobs. And their energy is going into the food that they're preparing for you.
Right.
I don't
right,
want that.
Right, right.
I want, you know, I want the energy that goes into my food to be happy energy.
know? Well, and throughout the day, you also have ideas for energizing, for increasing happiness, for, as we said, blessing your food, and at nighttime, more journaling. In the winding down process, doing a bedtime body scan and mental relaxation, even a let-it-go meditation. Why is all that important?
Those are the things I need. I seriously need those things to be able to go to sleep. My brain does not shut off. And it's constantly coming up with, you know, just crazy thoughts. You know, it might be I'm working on something and so I can't stop thinking about that, or some crazy thing from the past will just pop into my mind. And, you know, you get all of this stuff. Matt Oren calls it monkey brains, and it's like the best thing I've ever heard of is, yes, it's monkey brains because it's jumping all over the place. I have tried prescription medications. I do use some herbal blends now that help, because the prescription medications have never done any good for me whatsoever. But I have to get myself to wind down and slow down so that I can sleep. If I don't, I'll be up to 3 or 4 o'clock every day in the morning. So I have to have, it's just like, I'm like a baby. I'm like the baby who's got to take the bath and be, you know, swaddled and everything and get into a routine. And I'm like that. I have to have all of that in order to shut myself down at night. I think there's a lot of us out there who are probably, you know, if we went and got diagnosed as adults, they'd tell us it's ADHD. But when, you know, I'm in my 50s, and when we were kids, nobody knew what that was. And that's part of what it is it just, you just can't stop thinking about all of these different things. And the brain goes crazy. So I have to teach my brain to shut things down and how to put things away almost for the night, like cleaning up the room. I have to clean up my brain and put everything into its little file space and tell myself, okay, I can worry about this tomorrow. I don't have to worry about this till next week. And I write out notes and I keep a pen and paper next to the bed because I'll still be ready to doze off and something important will pop into my mind that I know I won't remember in the morning. I've given up on trying to remember in the morning. So I do keep notes by my bed now for things.
Well, yeah, that's great. Now, Carrie, tell us, how does this all configure into magic?
To me, my definition of magic is it's the conversion of energy with intention. And so we do magic with ourselves by making ourselves a more whole, complete, happy person and converting our own energy into happiness. And then we can do the same with the environment around us. And there's different ways of doing it. It's like if you have certain problems that are keeping you in a funk or, you know, you're just not in a good mood and you need to get out of it, that is one kind of a progress towards good times. If you live in a community that has a lot of issues and needs help, after you've worked on yourself, then you can start working on your community and hopefully join together with other people to start putting energy into more positive areas.
So you talk about four different types of energies, and I found this fascinating. Do you want to tell us about your four different categories?
Which are you talking about, the like cosmic?
No, you're talking about personal life force, earth energy,
okay,
deities or angels, and celestial or cosmic.
Okay. So personal life force is the energy inside of you. It's not just your soul, but it's also like the energy you can create. You know, when you sit there and you like rub your hands together really fast and you can feel that friction and that heat, that is a type of your own personal energy. Then we have, what was the next one? Earth energies. And those are the energies and everything in the natural world around us. So that includes the energy of plants. It includes the energy of other animals. It includes the energy of birds, water. What else is out there? Rocks, the energy from crystals and stones. Let's see. After that was the high, what was it? The deities, higher power.
Deities and angels.
Deities and angels. So those are, depending upon your belief system, if you were, you know, if you're a Christian, then your deity would be, you know, the Christian God. If you're Celtic, it could be any one of the Celtic gods. So those are the powers or the energies that come from the deities. And then we have the celestial, which is like your zodiac powers, but also can include, what are they called now? I can't think off the top of my head. Is it gamma rays?
Sure.
It's
sure.
Celestial energy. There's all kinds of other celestial energies other than just the zodiac. But, you know, we get energies, celestial energies from the moon. We get them from the sun. Anything that's in space is where our celestial energies come from. And they have, it's like the zodiac. We know that when the moon is in a certain zodiac sign, there's certain more aspects of things that are, you know, likely to happen type of thing. So we use those energies. Or when the moon is in a certain phase, we use those energies. Or if there's an eclipse, all of those types of things are celestial. So when we take from our personal energy, and then we gather all of these things from the natural energy, and then we take our deities and we throw that in, and we throw in celestial energy from the moon, we've just put four types of energy together to work them into whatever it is we want with our intention.
So, right into the next question is, show us how to combine those energies. How would you do that with spell work and magic?
Basically, the personal energy you use, an example would be your visualization. If you do chanting work to raise energy, chanting work to raise energy while you are performing your spell, that's another part of your personal energy. If you are working with the stones, or if you're going to burn an incense, or if you have fire, any of these components that you would use in your spell work are natural energies from the natural world. Then when you call upon your deities, you're asking for them to lend their energy to your working. And again, you have like your full moon, say you're, you know, it depends on what you're working for. But when you take all of those energies together and design your spell around that, like say you're going to do an abundance spell, and you want to grow something. So you're going to start on the new moon, and as the moon starts waxing, you can do the spell every day if you want towards the full moon, and you see that it's growing and growing and growing, and you visualize that whatever it is that you want is getting closer, or it's growing as you do the spell, and you use herbs that go along with correspondences of abundance, or you can use stones that go along with correspondence for abundances. And then you ask your deities for this abundance that you're looking for.
Can you take us through a spell? Take us through an abundant spell. It's always perfect at the new year. Would you walk us through how you would do it, the things you would say, and how we can participate as listeners?
I didn't know I was going to have to do one.
Well,
let's see. It's like I sit down and write all of my spells up, so I don't know.
Okay, we can move on. We can move on, because I think your shadow work is really, really nice and important too, and it first of all, I loved the affirmations on self-esteem and healing. I want to come back to forgiveness here in a moment, but you have these affirmations that are really powerful and sweet. I loved how you said, "I am the only me," and turn on the glow. Magic for coping instead of denying is just great. I mean, you feel good when you say those. And you also want people to do some shadow work. Can we talk about how you approach that? Because where there is light, there must also be darkness, you say. And
oh, yes.
Yeah, and I think that's really good. Why is that important for people to deal with the shadow?
If we have negative aspects of ourselves that we are not dealing with, we have negative energy that's just sitting there. And it can be, it can pop up anytime it wants. And the way to get rid of the negative energy is to deal with the shadow. And the way to be able to learn to control and sense negative energies in other places is also, you learn it by dealing with your own shadow and dealing with that negative energy. It makes it a lot easier to detect it elsewhere. I'm pretty sure that one of our main reasons for being here on this planet is to learn to heal ourselves and to help others heal. We do have this problem that a lot of people like to refer to as toxic positivity. It's just positive all the time, all the time, all the time. And not everything is positive. Some things really suck. And if we just sit there and don't accept the bad part of it, we're never going to be able to get over. You know, it's like when you, if you deny being hurt, when you're hurt, you just get angry and you don't ever get past it. When you're hurt about something, you need to be able to deal with it in order to move on.
And how would a person do that?
Parts of it are done through therapy. I mean, depending on what all there is that, depending on what's in your shadow self, depends on what you would do. I highly recommend therapy for anybody who's doing shadow work. Some of it can be scary stuff. I had a lot of repressed memories come back after my brother decided to spill the beans on me for my 50th birthday present. And it's like I had thought different things all my life about other things, certain situations that always seemed out of place. And it was because these were things I didn't remember happening at the time. When you're a little kid, I mean, you don't necessarily remember, you know, everything anyway. A lot of kids don't remember things from, like, you know, before the age of 5-4 years old. So we have to give people the support they need, and we have to realize that there's a lot more people that need help than what we admit even.
Well, I really like your comments about coping with a loss. Speaking of dealing with things that are unpleasant, I mean, losses happen. People are taken out of our lives. Our hearts are broken. And you talk about how to close your eyes and be transported into a garden, and you can feel the wind blow through your hair and the sun shine on your skin, smell the flowers and listen to the birds. And your loved ones are ahead waiting for you, and everyone is laughing and smiling and talking amongst themselves. And you can take the time to focus on what the messages they might have for you and what they want to share. So if you go through that, you can quiet your mind and be present in a garden with your loved ones. And then you have affirmations to help people, and they can say to themselves, I accept that loss is out of my control. I accept that grief has changed who I am. I am taking my time to grieve. Grief is healing, and I am healing. The pain I feel in my heart will heal. To feel loss means I loved, and the love is the greatest gift of all. I am never alone in my grief. I am loved and supported. Those are just beautiful ways to help a person cope with something that is just ripping their heart out every time they think of the person being lost. You have a sachet that you can create to help prevent nightmares, and you have instructions on coping with loneliness. In fact, you have a spell that I think is really terrific. Loneliness is an epidemic in this country, and I think you really dealt with it beautifully. And you have things that you tell people they can do, and there is an activity that they can create that deals with loneliness, and they can accept the fact that they are lonely and find an inner harmony about the loneliness so that they don't color it black, but they color it just what it is. Do you have anything else you want to tell us on those subjects?
A lot of experience is what it is. I'm trying to remember now it would have been right around the time when we were writing this book. My daughter actually did the section on loneliness, and she had just lost my granddaughter's other grandma. She had lived with her with the grandkids for several years, and we lost her it's just been a year now, to COVID. And so my daughter was working on the loneliness spells because it was something she was going through at the time. And I mean, I'm sure we've all gone through it, but those were very special to her at the moment because of the loss. Tammy was her best friend, a grandmother to her children and one of her best friends. And when you lose that with somebody, especially somebody that you've lived with day after day for years, it takes a toll. It definitely takes a toll. And life is not the same anymore.
Right. And it's beautifully written. I loved all of the material about forgiveness and the self-acceptance ritual and just healing, and in a positive, cheerful way that isn't saccharine but is genuine. I think the whole book is just something for people to have, to read, and to go to as they process life and things occur in their life or happen to them, and I hate to use that phrase, but when things occur in their life that they don't want or don't like or feel blame about, they can really go to your book.
Yes.
And they don't have to be a witch to do these spells because they're very positive. You don't have to put on a black hat and carry a sword. You can actually do these in your home, in your kitchen. And I think it really adds a depth and a meaning to life itself. And as you go through and move through the changes of life, your book is going to help them do the passages. I know Gail Sheehy wrote Passages in the 80s, and it was a very helpful book for a lot of people. But so is your book, and you give positive ways and actions that people can deal with these occurrences.
I really hope that it does help people. It was helpful it was helpful for me to write it. It was helpful for my daughter to write it. And I think that when an author is able to experience the same thing as their readers and say, hey, this is what's worked for me, I think that helps a lot of people. At least I hope it does.
Well, sure. I mean, I read it and I really loved every page and I liked all the processes. And you really begin the book with saying, magic is no substitution for therapy. So you do make sure that people who have real troubles get the help that they need. And now you can get help online. You can get help pretty much anywhere at your church if you're a member of that. But I do think that your book is wonderful for any religion, for any – it just cuts across all of the belief systems, and it gets right down to the core of – what life is all about. Spells for Good Times is the book we're talking about. Carrie Connor with Crystal Hope, her daughter, wrote this. It's available wherever you find your books. So, Carrie, we've got a few minutes left. We've got about 5 minutes left. I'm going to let you wrap this up and tell us anything you want to tell us.
Okay. Well, I can tell you that my new book is coming out in April. That one is also going to be with Llewellyn, and that is Conjuring with Cannabis, Spells and Rituals for the Weed Witch. And in August, I have a book coming out with Which Way Publishing, which will be, it's so hard to say all of that, Which Way Publishing, which will be The Weed Witch's Journal. Oh, my gosh, that was so many W's.
Yes, it was.
I have to try that one more time. Which Way Publishing, and that one will be The Weed Witch's Journal. And it's a guided journal that will kind of go along a little bit with the Conjuring with Cannabis book. So I have both of those coming out this year. It's 2023, isn't it? I keep forgetting that. Yes, we are in 2023, so I will have those two books come out this year, and I am working on a couple other little things that I don't know what's going to happen with those yet, but we'll see. So I'm staying busy.
What is most important to you in your life and your practice?
What is most important? Well, in my life, it's really my family, my grandchildren, and making sure that I want them to have a better place than what we had as far as a world. So in making things better for them in many ways, we started the church. The Gathering Grove is now officially a church. And it's a 501c3 religious organization, and our house belongs to the church. So as long as my family keeps up the Gathering Grove, they have the house and the church. So things like this, I'm preparing for my grandchildren's future, and in a way that was never done for me. I mean, my grandparents died when I was pretty young even. So to me, it's family is very important. Preparing them for the world is important. And we're building a lot of community with our group. We have started working on all kinds of different projects together. And that's what it's about really for us, is it's about community. We're going to have a community garden. And from that community garden, we'll make dinners together for a community dinner. So that's a big, really big for me, is family and community.
And what about your homeless shelter that you created?
It was not a homeless shelter. I used to work with the homeless shelters in the area doing laundry, and I realized that a lot of people were not getting items that they needed from like the different free sites because they had no access to it. So we had set up a company. It was called Nurturing Necessities, and we specialized in getting baby clothes, diapers, kids' clothes, maternity wear to homeless families, basically. And we would get a lot. Most of our clients came from the homeless shelters. Unfortunately, when I was diagnosed with cancer, I shut that down. But we did do that for 7 years. Then I went through the whole cancer thing and came out the other side and decided we were going to go turn the Gathering Grove into a full-blown religious organization, and I started writing again. I hadn't been writing for a while. So, and traveling. I started traveling a lot more.
Have you been to Ireland?
Not yet, but I'd planned to go sooner, but then COVID hit. So I'm thinking now, I'm hoping for next year. That's the goal, is to get there next year.
Good.
Yes.
Well, with a name like Kerry Connor, you probably have relatives all over the country.
There's a few. There are a few. I have checked. Did that whole ancestry and the 23andMe DNA. Yeah, I've checked. That's just going to stop and meet them all.
Well, that'll be good. All right. So what do you think the future of witchcraft is in America?
I know a lot of people were very scared for a while, and I admit I was getting kind of scared there for a while. I think that we need, as witches specifically, we need more churches. I don't like to use the word church, but it's what it is technically with the government. They see it as a church. We're a church. I think that we need to come together in groups, even if they're very small groups. It doesn't have to be a huge group, but I think we need to do that to be able to show that we're here and we're not going away. And we are protected by the federal government. And I felt with things, the way things were going a few years ago, I felt the need that it might be important for us to be protected by the government. And I mean, we've seen Pence come out and say that freedom of religion does not mean freedom from religion. So I can say I have a church and I have a religion, and it's just scary that we even have to think about things like that. But I think that we need to take advantage of the fact that we do have religious protection now and create our own churches, groves, covens, however you want to put it, so that the government recognizes us as religious organizations so that we have the same protections that other people have.
Sure. So what is your next ceremony that you and your community will be doing?
Our next one that we're going to do is Embolg. We were going to do the full moon, but I literally just got over COVID myself, so that didn't get planned. We all had Jewel together, and we are such a great community that we got each other all sick.
For
the second time in the past 3 years. We like to keep it all in the family, so it's good. We all get sick at once. It's kind of nice, honestly. We all get sick at once, so that we're all good by the next time. But we'll be doing Embolg, and I actually have to start working on planning that. We're going to do a thing about soup. We're all going to make a different soup this time and somehow incorporate that into ritual. I don't know yet how. But I like to just do different things. It's not always just having a special little ritual. Sometimes it's just, I don't even know how to say it. It's like for Yule, sometimes we do a ritual for Yule, and other times we just celebrate Yule. Instead of doing a ritual about the, you know, it being the shortest day and the longest night, we just enjoy the fact that it's the longest night. And we eat and we play games and we open gifts to each other and we just have, like, what some people would call Christmas. Only we do Yule.
Got it. And what about Ostara? Do you celebrate some fashion?
Yes, we do. Last year it was so cold and nasty that we did it in the living room floor, and we made like a mosaic spiral out of a whole bunch of different representations of spring, and it was really pretty. And then we carried it outside and blew it into the wind. It was different flowers and carrots and onions and just all these pretty different little things to make a little spiral for Ostara, but it was nasty weather. We do all the holidays. We try to do the full moons. And if we don't do things in person, because of COVID, we had started doing a lot of things online. And so now we do actually a lot more things online, too, with different discussion nights and different classes, and sometimes we do the new moon or the full moon on there, especially if it's during the week and people can't come out as easy and stuff like that.
How can people find you, Carrie, if they want to join your church and find you? How can they find you?
Everything is at carrieconnor.com. It's K-E-R-R-I-C-O-N-N-O-R. The church is up there, too. It's under the Gathering Grove, so we have everything right there. All of my social media links are on there, all the goodies.
Beautiful. Well, thank you for spending this time with us this evening and giving us the benefit of your wisdom and your life experience.
Thank you.
It's been wonderful to have you on The Art of Healing. And with that, Hercules, I will turn this over to you with thanks for the time and the opportunity.
And
thank you.
For, as always, a wonderful show. Thanks to both of you. I learned a lot. And our channel is launching a Witchcraft and Theurgy show at the end of this month. So this was a lot of great information that will help people understand better what is to come. And thanks to our wonderful audience for tuning in.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you, Hercules. And now you know, CarrieConnor.com, you can get in touch with her too.
Definitely. Thanks, and thanks to our wonderful audience. Whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, whether you know our guest or our host and followed their links, or whether you're going to check us out later on demand, until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. We're going to close with If You Can Dream by Virginia Ackley.
If you can dream, if you can fly, then your heart can touch the sky, but only if you can dream. If love is true and love is real, pain and sorrow soon will heal, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake. Dream till you feel. Dream till you know it. Dream till it's real. If you can dream, then you can be bound by love and yet be free, but only if you can dream. When love and trust are deep and fair, there is nothing your heart won't dare, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake. Dream till you feel. Dream till you know it. Dream till it's real. Dream till it's real. Dream till it's real.